Yeah, I'm not sure if it's already been reported, Peter, but there's a severely damaged power line in front of the Lubbock Company in Spitestown. So that's just a note from someone saying that there's a severely damaged power line in front of the power company in Spitestown. Somebody just sent me a rather scandalous note. If you have knowledge of the moral shortcomings of persons who have written in or called the program, I don't know if it is a good idea to express it to me necessarily. I mean, it was entertaining for me to read of his moral shortcomings, but I don't know if I'm necessarily the person you should be relaying this information to. I know my friend Patrick King might be more interested in hearing about that kind of thing, so he could put it on his blog. Peter, where are we playing down the establishment of a modern park? All over the world, parks have been subject of tourist attractions with history attached to it. So yes, I welcome the establishment of a moral park in a new developed city. As for the Miss Ram building, that business should never have been allowed to operate there in the first place. So the sooner, the better. Dr. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all. I hope you enjoy your stay.
I did.
And the rest of your from Brastax.
This is, who's speaking?
This is Alvin.
Oh, this is Alvin, yes. How are you? How are you, sir? We had a conversation in November, I believe.
Okay.
So, yes, I enjoyed my time tremendously, and I am reinvigorated and revivified and ready to deal with persons like yourself and Straker's Tenantry.
Good to hear that.
Good, good.
Now,
You had a good holiday, too?
Always do.
Okay. You went to the any of the Arabara functions?
Of course.
Okay.
And that is where I want to start.
Good.
I heard you and Mr. P earlier. I didn't really annoy with Mr. P because I was told Mr. P was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I was also told that I know him and et cetera. But I know you by seeing you in the 80s among David Thompson, Derek Allen, David Commerson, etc.
I was a Dem, yeah.
Yeah, listen.
In those days.
Get it to the point.
The good old days.
I leave Barbados, and I came back in October 2006. And again, I met you on George Street.
Mm-hmm.
I even sat and you lectured to us, and I asked questions which you did answer. That is around 2007, going into the 2008. And then after the election, you also lectured to us.
Okay. Would you come to a lecture that I had now?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, why not?
No, I'm truthful.
Okay.
I believe in the truth.
So you would listen to me in a lecture before, but you wouldn't listen to me in a lecture, no?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? All right, no problem.
Yeah. But let me say this.
I like your honesty.
Let me say this to you directly.
Mm-hmm.
I know you to ask me like how is answer truthful. How many times or if any time did you hear the late Earl Waltenbauer say that when he do die, where he will let his ashes go, and he will let nothing in memory of him.
Mm-hmm.
No statues, no monuments, nothing. About how many times you heard it?
He said it several times.
To you, to us, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then. You heard that. How then can you agree with Mr. P that this administration is doing more for Barra and including stature and independence going thing, when the gentleman told us as Democrats he don't want it? Why do you think that anybody should be doing what a person say they don't want while they were living? Why you should be doing it now they have passed? Answer that question for me.
You know a gentleman called Eric Williams? You heard of Eric Williams?
No, let me deal.
But Alvin, is the problem with you? You know, when I try to have a conversation with you, you're back against the wall. Do you know Eric Williams? He wrote a book called Capitalism and Slavery. Do you know the gentleman?
Oh.
Eric Williams.
Only by listening to him and seeing him. In photos and on the screen.
He was the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago.
Eric
Williams also said, while he was alive, that when he closed his eyes, he did not want any effigy, any building named after him. He didn't want anything like that. He was very clear in his lifetime, And the fact that Errol Barra said the same thing makes me believe that either they were friends, clearly. They seem to have a similar philosophy that they don't want that. In the case of Eric Williams, recently the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago has been asked, when is he going to build a sufficient tribute to Eric Williams, right? And he made the point that because Eric Williams was known to have said that, any tribute or honor to Eric Williams has to be done in the context of what the family is prepared to accept. So we have a building in Trinidad called the Eric Williams Medical Sciences Complex, which is where Mount Hope Hospital is located. The family has given permission for his name to be used in that regard. The family has, however, said that they will not go any further and they do not want a statue built. In the case of Barbados, Errol Barra said what he said. We have the Errol Barra Center at the University of the West Indies. My understanding is that the family has given permission for that. We have a statue in Bridgetown, and my understanding was that the reason we have a statue is because his family has given permission for that. The point I am making is that the family has given permission, the family approved the sculpture and everything.
Who told you that?
Well, I spoke to his daughter. I spoke to his daughter before she passed, and she indicated that the family had approved the statue. And they actually got to see it before it was put up in Independence Square, and they didn't have a problem with it. So the point I'm making to you, Alvin, is that I think that in these matters, we have to defer to the family. Errol Barra's family is willing, notwithstanding what he said, to permit and has permitted the statue, the name of the building at the University of the West Indies, and other honors which are to come. If that is the case, then so be it. And but I'm saying that in the context of the fact that the family seems willing, my question is, why is it that the family home in St. Lucie is still abandoned?
I can't get into the victim, I understand at all, you know.
When Adam's family home has been rehabilitated.
Mr. Vickham, I asked you a simple question, and you're talking for taking out all the show, then people want to get
it. I don't talk, Alvin. You talk as much as you want, and then we're going to finish.
Simple question.
I can't have a conversation with you.
Do you believe the members of the Democratic Labour Party should be accused of not doing nothing for Barr when the members know what Errol Barra said? That is all they ask you. I don't want to hear about aliens and all the other things.
Right.
We, as members of the party, was told that.
No problem.
Including you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, don't tell me that we are ungrateful and we are this because we will not do...
They call it ungrateful?
No, you didn't say that. By me, I
put that. But you put in words that I ain't call one ungrateful.
No, I didn't say
that. Maybe that would be an appropriate description, but I ain't call one ungrateful.
What I'm saying is, you should not be saying that something is wrong with us then when we are fulfilling what the gentleman asked for. Let me move on from that one. Mr. Wickham, I would like you to tell me the truth again.
Somebody here telling me to ask you if you have a problem with the job that Owen Arthur has been given, if you think that is a substantial enough job
let
for him.
Let me debate what I want to talk about.
Because the person is saying that you never have an opinion. All you'd be doing is just disagreeing with everything.
And how about the stats man?
No, I read and saying that somebody's saying. The person ain't telling me nothing about the stats man. The person is talking about you.
Mr. Wickham,
so you respond to you. You don't remember the stats man. I would deal with the stats man when he on.
You had the stats man on 20.
I know, but I got you on now, and I'm asking you if you are happy with the job that Owen Arthur has.
You should ask him.
But you don't worry about that. When he comes, I will deal with him and that. I am dealing with Alvin now, and I'm asking you if you are happy with the job that Owen Arthur has, because somebody has just messaged me and asked me to ask you if you are happy with the job Owen Arthur has.
Can I continue what I want to talk about?
But you can ask the question too.
No, but I could continue why I call you. And not nobody emailing or waxing you up with nothing. I come to speak about what I want to speak about, and you're not taking me from there. Okay? I would like you to tell me. There are two buildings in the city. The National Insurance Building and the Treasury Building. Okay? What did our Prime Minister say concerning the two buildings?
The Treasury is supposed to be used for housing and the National Insurance Building will be torn down.
Okay. I know that you're too young to have seen the construction of the totem. One.
What do you mean? I saw the construction of the National Insurance Building. I'm only 51 years old.
I hear that.
I'm only 51. I remember the National Insurance Building being constructed.
You knew when it was building?
Yes, I remember when it was building. And I remember the opening ceremony, and they had police up on the top blowing trumpets and things.
How many years did National Insurance Building
was built? I don't remember. But I remember as a child seeing that thing, that with the police blowing these trumpets out there.
As a child age, you could have pictured what construction is all about.
I guess.
But let me explain to you where I'm going. The National Insurance Building is a better building than the Treasury Building. I saw both built. All my life I do construction. Mm. Both buildings are declared as sick buildings. Both of them.
But one's sicker than the other.
Who say that?
Yeah. I'm not pursuing this issue with you, because for me, the question is also one of placement. The location right now of the National Insurance Building seems to be more suited to a park than the location of the Treasury Building.
Can I finish then on National Insurance Building with you?
You can wrap up, bring it home, yeah.
Okay. I'm told that the National Insurance Building, the fire station, and the temporary market will be demolished for a park. Okay, I'm told that. What I don't understand, and why find, as the taxi man said before, you have to be talking a particular way to certain moderators, and I hope you do not join them, that you'll be on my not call list too. Because there's
you call me anything.
Listen a minute.
I will let you to come to a lecture that I have. Are you planning another lecture? I will let you to come. But you tell me that you ain't coming now because I ain't a damn no more.
Well, I start to have some moderators that I will not call.
All of a sudden, all of the knowledge I had is useless because I'm no longer them.
Listen to what I'm saying. What I want to find out, because you is a person that I believe is cool and learn well. If a government...
Right, school long, but not necessarily learn.
If a government has a plan for a park that I doubt Peter Wickham will take his family to when it's finished, because it's too close to the way he likes.
Why would I got a problem with that?
If they're going to push down two buildings, the National Insurance Building, the fire station, and the temporary market, to put a park, can you help me where I have to hurry?
What I would like you to tell me is what you know about Red Light District and Red Lights.
I always have Red Lights, even though that...
So you're going Nelson Street? What is going there to do? And what is your favorite bar?
Mr. Wickham, you will learn if you listen, you know.
Mm.
My uncle owned a shop at the corner of Nelson Street and Street.
Wait, my cousin, used to sell?
Rum, everything, and ladies used to...
And ladies in there too?
What is that?
Ladies as well.
Some of the ladies, the best ladies I ever had.
I got a problem with that. You know, as my friend Ali said, prostitution was going on from biblical times. On the subject of biblical, the gentleman I was trying to remember was Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you, Dennis. Your Bible knowledge is spot on. It was Nebuchadnezzar. He was the gentleman that had all these wives and concubines and Viagra in abundance. This has been the first part of Down to Brass Tacks. I do hope that you will stay. We have a whole lot more to go. Remember, we're going until 2 o'clock, but at this point, we take a break for the regional roundup. Just stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're with you 4341790. You can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com, or you can use our WhatsApp, 266-IVOB. We're with you, Dennis and myself, until 2 p.m., and I look forward to your calls and your messages. To be sure, Dennis was clearly not as well schooled in things biblical as he thought he was. Nebuchadnezzar was apparently a Babylonian king, and I can take no responsibility for this because I asked the question and Dennis answered it. So Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king. Apparently it was King Solomon, who had 700 wives and 3,000 concubines. So he was the person of whom we spoke. So it was not Nebuchadnezzar. King Solomon had 700 wives and 3,000 concubines. And apparently he was the wisest man in Christendom. And they argued that he fell from grace because many of these women started to worship false gods. So the moral of the story is that if the wisest man could not stand up to the power of a woman, lesser mortals like us are doomed. It's an interesting story. This is Delta Brass Tacks, 434-1790. The callers are concerned about the last call I had with Alvin. It seemed to have gone down the wrong road. The National Insurance Building was opened in 1975. I would have been, I think, 7 at the time, if I remember correctly. So that would have been a building that I would have seen as a child. And I do remember that correctly. It's time that Barbadian buildings have maintenance programs. We need to understand that we're spending money on buildings year in and year out. And then in 20 years, you spend money again. How is it that we can spend money in other areas, education, medical, etc., and we're not spending money on buildings and maintenance of buildings? Let's take a call. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. You say good morning and welcome to the next... Good afternoon, I'm sorry, and welcome to the next caller.
Yes, good afternoon to you too.
Good afternoon, Mr. Straker's Tenantry, and a happy new year to you, sir.
First thing we have to do is do some housekeeping. Right? So I will wish you a happy new year.
Thank you, sir.
Even though I cannot offer you any congratulations.
What?
Because I am not a hypocrite.
You are not happy for me?
No. It makes no difference whether I'm happy for you or not. I am wishing you a happy new year.
Right.
As is customary.
Okay.
Right.
And you believe that offering of congratulations to me would suggest you're a hypocrite because you...
It would be.
A congratulatory note would be to say that you wish me well and you in my new venture. You believe you have to support the venture in order to wish me well in the venture.
You just let me deal with that slowly. Now, when you went off the program, I was Mr. Strakers.
You were.
And now that you come back, I am still Mr. Strakers. So what is your title today? So that we don't disrespect
you. I am Peter Wickham. I continue
to be Peter Wickham.
Yeah, I haven't changed my name. Oh, and I have no intention of still doing
it. Well, I must say that I saw a picture in the paper that was more than a bit confusing to me. And even the article, there were some coincidences. Your partner surname, how do you pronounce that?
Cardinale.
Cardinale?
That's right.
Good. And of all things that you choose to take from Barbados is conkeys without raisins.
Indeed.
Of all the things. Anyhow, if
there were other things
remaining
too.
As Mr. Wickham.
There were other things too.
But yeah, but I'm talking about the main highlight and the one that catch people's imagination. I like what capture imagination. Now, strange enough, you go on straight from that into somebody that had enough wives, enough concubines, and all of them was females. You know, so you ain't take nothing from that. But we can leave that there.
What would you like me to take from it? King Solomon had 3,000 wives and they were all women. I have one husband and he's a man.
But that's the point. You should think that that is the way to go.
Right, I question the way to go. I don't think that what worked for Solomon was good for him. What works for me is good for me. What works for you is good for you. So
you think it is Solomon.
I think we should all do what works for us. What makes us happy.
Exactly.
So Solomon was happy with 3,000 wives. I don't know many people that would have been happy with 3,000 wives.
Well,
700 wives. Sorry, 700 wives.
So what about family life? You know, these are the things that does confuse me, you know.
But you tell me about your family life. I can tell you about my family life.
Nature determines the male and female of every species for reproduction. You understand? And because you want something else and somebody wants something else, that don't change it.
But what I'm trying to understand in turn, and I'm gonna have a difficulty having this conversation with you, Mr. Straker, but I'm trying to understand where it is going. Whether Mr. Straker's tenantry, whether I decide to have children or not, I don't know that it changes anything in terms of nature, as you call it, or God's plan, you may call it. I think that if you want to have children, that's perfectly fine. If King Solomon had children, that's fine. I know many married couples that have children, gay and straight, that have children, and I think that that's perfectly fine.
But at this time, I have no intention of so doing.
And
It's not perfectly fine, Mr. Vickers.
It's perfectly fine.
It is not.
You know, when it comes down to it, Strakers, I think that what you and other persons who hold your views in Barbados needs to understand, that a relationship between two people is a relationship with two people.
If it makes
them happy, that is important to them. If it makes you unhappy, you have a problem. They don't.
No.
So if it is that my union causes you pause to the point where you don't feel you can offer congratulations, then what I would say to you, sir, is you keep your congratulations and you can reflect on the problem that you have with my union. I don't have a problem with it. Ultimately, I am the person that in it.
Mr. Beckham, I have no problem with it, you know.
Right.
Because all I intend to do is keep far from it. And I could live till eternity and do that.
But why would I have suggested that you do anything different?
Exactly. It's pointless.
Like Alvin, you used to come to my lectures when I was on the other side. You have not come to any lectures in recent times. And I suspect you will want to come to a lecture even less now that I am married to the gentleman to whom I am married. And if that works for you, fine, no problem.
I'm not going to shed any tears. Just hold a minute, Mr. Vickham.
Yes, sir.
If you was doing a lecture at the George Street Auditorium, I would be there.
Yeah. That's not and likely to happen anytime soon.
I always inviting you to come, you know.
To George Street?
Remember that.
But the George Street Auditorium ain't get condemned?
The auditorium?
I thought the auditorium was condemned.
Indeed not.
So what is that get condemned?
You tell me we get condemned.
But I heard recently that the building was condemned and that it was not being occupied anymore.
Well, you know you're not.
And that the lectures are happening elsewhere.
You are not up to date on many things.
The lecture is happening next door.
You leave that there. Anyhow, Mr. Vickers, you leave that there.
There you are.
But it is not okay because you were saying it's okay. It's not okay. Now, I wanted to say something because while I was here...
So you get to determine what is okay and what is not okay? Who is you?
No, you were saying that it was okay.
I said that what two people determine in terms of their family is okay. And I'm saying to you, you're saying to me it's not okay. And I'm saying, who is you to determine whether it's okay or not?
But it is not me. It is nature. And nature decides that two mummies can't get a child, nor two daddies can't get a child.
I know a lot of mummies.
Not me.
I know a lot of mummies in Barbados that have children. You know what is interesting? That nature has also determined that a child should have a mother and a father. And I know many children in Barbados that grew up with one or the other. In many instances, the mother and no father.
Hold on a second.
If Mr. Straker's tenantry, you are going to be true and consistent, you also need to express concern about that. Listen, the fact of the matter is, Barbados, and I'm not going to tarry on this issue indefinitely, But Barbados has always been a country, and indeed the Caribbean has always been a region in which the traditional concept of familyhood has been varied a long time ago, and it's not just with me. It's not just with me in a same-sex marriage that has varied our traditional concept of what a family is. Our traditional concept of family was very long time ago. I went to school at Goodland, right? And I used to sit down in a class with people who live in a house with all different kinds of arrangements, a sister and a brother, sometimes a cousin and a godfather, and all kinds of different arrangements, and they consider themselves family. And I always used to argue in terms of my writing on this subject, because I have done research and written on this subject, that this idea that Barbados has always adhered to traditional family values is foolishness. Because we never have.
Mr. Beckham, I spoke.
I did some research recently for one of the government agencies, right? Now, you know, one of the most interesting findings is that more children are born out of wedlock, 20% more than in wedlock. But yet, still, you're going to tell me about traditional family?
Mr. Beckham, I talk about reproduction. You're talking about family, I talk about reproduction.
You mentioned family. You mentioned family just now.
Exactly.
You mentioned family. Don't run from it.
I speaking about two mommies and two daddies cannot reproduce. That's why I said.
Straker, I really think it's probably best that we left it right there and we stick to the politics.
You can leave that right there. Right there.
Because I certainly don't plan to be debating this issue over and over with you. You have a fixed idea. Knock yourself out.
Good. Cool. No problem.
Right.
Now,
regardless of whether you offer congratulations or not, my marital status continues to be the same.
Good. No problem. I don't expect you to change it.
There you
go. While you're here listening, I hear you and Mr. P speaking about the disrespect of Mr. Barrow. Or rather, that the D's and do anything for Mr. Barrow. Now, I spoke on this enough times already, but I can take you through it again. One thing that was very clear for Mr. Barrow is to do not build no monuments onto him. And that was very clear, you know. The other day, I gave you a statement from him, and it blew you up the water.
Was that?
When I told you that now that Miss Motley eventually submerged to the top. That was one of his favorites, too. Submerged to the top. So, therefore, when it comes to Mr. Barrow, there's lots of things about him that is well known. And not building monuments to him is one. The DLP now, in their way, decided to do a day. The Tom Adams, after running and put his father name up on the airport and holding off some heat, ran a bill at ABC High. You didn't play football in there, minute. Disrespect. And I say so then, I can say so now. When Alpha come down and he do a monument and put his name off and you in disrespect. And for you to come to hide behind this premise that the ask the family, it was also disrespect to go and ask the family because you could easily twist their hands to go against his wishes. And I would like his name take off for all of those and the monument take down. Because we know what was his request. Fidel Castro, like, lived Cuba for about 50 unbroken years.
You know, I think I preferred when you were talking about my personal life because it would have making more sense than you making now.
Well,
because I have not heard you talk so much nonsense in a long time. Well, are you saying that we should take down the monument and remove the man's name from the highway, from the building at UE, all of that?
And show him the respect that you asked for.
But then we should build down the house, bulldoze the house in St. Lucie.
No, you don't have to bulldoze the house. You don't have to bulldoze
the house. But let's bulldoze the house. Bulldoze the house and pick up the rock that they put down last week. They will bulldoze that too.
Go to Cuba and go look out.
I find Strakers, I feel sometimes that you is just trying to think how much nonsense you could come on this program and talk.
But to you it is nonsense.
No, but you have just submerged to the top. You have.
Well, there you go. I know I will not disrespect him. I know I will not disrespect him.
No, but I think that you are disrespecting yourself because what you are saying is abject nonsense. You are basically coming on this program and telling me that to be true to Barrow's memory, we need to pull down the statue, we need to take his name off the building, and we need to...
No, we need to respect him. And that's his wishes, is don't build the monument.
But then we should take away the day, too. We should take away the day.
No, the day is not a monument.
We should take away the day. If you're saying that we don't want it, let's take away the day.
That is why subtly we did that. And it nearly was taken away. So you probably would be right. It nearly was taken away.
Somebody asking if he won a funeral. He didn't want a funeral?
Probably. He had a funeral. He charged the ashes in the sea.
Had a funeral at the stadium for him?
A memorial service, man.
Oh, okay. And then a funeral?
No, it's not a funeral.
All right.
Memorial service. Don't get mixed up.
Mr. Stricker's telling you, I think that we need to terminate this conversation and you need to go. I was more tolerant when you were talking about me than Dick. I find that you reached rock bottom. I hope your contributions for the rest of the year are not going to be on this level. Honestly. I really hope so. Anyhow, the music tells me that it's time to go for the latest, and thank goodness, because I really think that we needed a break, a brief respite from what we just heard. Tell you, this has been an interesting program. It's Down to Brass Tacks. We are here with you until 2. Remember, there's a whole lot more to go and a lot less of Straker Standing Tree to hear from, so do stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. I had a lot of interesting emails, WhatsApp messages just now. I just want to read 2. So the first one says, Peter Don Meister, Chris Tenetry, look at the women that Henry V killed. And note that these are women, not men. So Henry V had some wives. Queen Anne, he beheaded her in 1536. Margaret, Countess of Salisbury, he beheaded her in 1541. Queen Catherine Howard was beheaded in 1542. And then June Viscount Rochford was beheaded in 1542. And then Lady Jean Grey was beheaded in 1554. So much for family values. And then another gentleman says to me, Peter, I guess it's okay for you to have 7 wives. And I said in response, I guess I could have 7 wives, but not 1 husband. That would make Straker Standing Tree happier if I had 7 wives, just not 1 husband. But that's so it goes. Also, thanks to the other large number of you who have conveyed congratulations via WhatsApp. Again, we appreciate very much the good vibes that is coming from people. Peter, the husband, wife, children is the bedrock of the human race, period. It is a God-created, God-breathed, beautiful gift. As I was saying to Mr. Straker Standing Tree, and this is not a point that it meant to take trivially, Barbadians and people in the Caribbean have for a long time redefined the whole concept of family values. I went to a school where I essentially had what appeared to have been a non-traditional family, because I had a mother, father, and I had a sister who attended the same school. We both we were both from the same parents. But pretty much everyone else in my school had a different variation. And I learned very early in life not to disrespect that their arrangement was different to mine, because in life, people are different. And I am hoping that in time we will come to understand that in the same way that some people are raised by a godmother or 2 aunts or an uncle, or indeed live in a house where they have other siblings, or alternatively have no other siblings and the relations are cousins, that people will grow to understand my own arrangement and will not feel threatened in any way by a reality that is very much a reality as the one which this gentleman here is talking about, with a husband, wife, and children. He can look hard to find that kind of arrangement in the case of Barbados. As I said, generally speaking, you find in Barbados that 20% more children are born out of wedlock than within wedlock. So this idea of the perfect arrangement, this idea of the traditional arrangement, is something that certainly will need to be challenged. But we can talk about that another time. Remember, 434-1790, good afternoon and welcome. Oh, sorry, it was Henry VIII, not Henry V. My apologies. It was Henry VIII that beheaded his many wives. Henry VIII, yes. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Not as well as you.
I'm good. You said not as well as me?
Yeah, not as well as you. What
you might be better.
Mr. Wickham, I'm disappointed that you carried on such a long conversation with Traker Standing Tree.
Well,
honestly, and true, your business is your business.
Don't you think that in as much as my business has been placed in a public forum, that there needs to be an opportunity for people like Straker Standing Tree to express his displeasure?
He can display his displeasure at the DLP headquarters. That way he can display it on radio. I was real back.
All right. Well, I ain't taking these things personally. My back broad and
all righty. I congratulate you.
Life continues. Thank you, sir.
because I went on both radio stations and said that I don't want another Beijing woman as long as he lives, and I was castigated, but that can't change me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Me and Beijing women are still friends, but I want none of them.
You prefer the Jamaican women?
Jamaican or the Guyanese.
Well, you could get yourself in some big trouble, huh?
Can I get in a big trouble, Mr. Wickham? I see what he's saying, does it? All right. To each his own.
Mm-hmm.
And there got to be reasons for saying things and reasons for doing things.
All right.
What I call you most about, Mr. Wickham, there's a particular former moderator called, I hope you remain former, that is calling complaining about the National Insurance Building all the time. That building was done for about 15 years. You mean none of them, all the ideas that them got now, they can come up with an idea and put forward the government, put it in the papers, put it on Skype, put it for the internet. But as the PM decide that she can do something with the building, you hear all the detractors. To be honest, they really feel that people want to hear them.
Well, you know why I would say, though, that the dog dead? Because even as we speak, the scaffolding is going up and the building is coming down.
Right.
So the talk will probably be continuing well into Christmas time when the new park will be unveiled. I think it's as soon as that.
I hope when the new park unveiled that I got my Jamaican or Ghanaian wife
on. Go sit down in it.
Go there and sit down and enjoy the park.
Yeah, well.
To be honest, we people is something else. Here we do. They want to mind your business. They want you to live your life to suit them. You can only live your life to suit you. Mm. And what makes you happy?
Well, I hope that there's lesson in all of it for us. In terms of the development of Bridgetown specifically, I do feel that the Bridgetown area needs to take on a life of its own in a way that it has not for a long time.
Bridgetown is something else.
Yeah. It dies after business is closed, and in these days, since there's not a lot of business going on, it's dying, period. If it is that we can have a space for people who live in and around the Bridgetown area to congregate, why not? What do you think would be a suitable name for the park? Sir, are you there? Okay, the call dropped. All right, my apologies. Now, Kai was just gonna not to stir up some trouble, but start to look at some suggestions as to how we can name the park when it is completed. Dennis is shaking his head in dismay that I am actually venturing into that issue. Dr. Brass, I have a name in mind. Clearly, let's be clear, I have a name in mind. Dr. Brass, that's good morning. Good afternoon, sorry.
I'm your picking up, Hannah.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Hannah.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. Welcome to
good
the program.
Good afternoon.
Yes, how are you?
Oh, I wanted to say that I was very excited about the regathering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a wheelchair person, so I never took part. But there are 10 or 12 of us in wheelchairs who would love to go on a scenic tour of Lucy.
But but ma'am, you're telling me that there's been no provision made for disabled persons in wheelchairs to be able to attend these bus tours?
Maybe some disabled persons, because I only deal with the wheelchair people as we're the ones who usually have the problems when it comes to getting anywhere because of transport.
Yeah, but the is there not still a bus that the transport board has that is wheelchair friendly?
No, I don't know of it. Tell you the truth. We use the Council for the Disabled or the National Disabilities Unit, or we pay privately. But I was thinking if there was a tour bus out there that had a wheelchair lift, they could take us on a scenic tour because people don't go to St. Lucie.
Ma'am, I'm actually quite shocked that this has not come up before. Because the disabled community is part of our Barbadian, the fabric of our Barbadian life, and an important part. And I think it's important that if you are having activities that embrace everyone, that we would also reach out to persons who have disabilities in much the same way. And I agree that you have every right to be on the bus tour.
I would love that. We would love that.
No, I mean, it's reason, and even if nobody goes, the point of the matter is that the facility ought to be there.
Right. You know, the thing is, you're going to hear, but there isn't a bus that could hold 10 or 12 wheelchairs.
But not 10 or 12, but at least one or two. So yeah. If you want to go with your family, for example, and most of your family is able-bodied, you're the only disabled person, then you should be able to go with them.
Well, the thing is, I am a member of the MS Society, and I think we like to go in a bunch. The thing is, there might be 10 or 12 people in wheelchairs, but they could be hoisted on the lift into the bus, and at least six of them would be willing to transfer into seats, and those wheelchairs folded up, and they would fit in the bus. And the others would stay in their wheelchair. I am sure something could be worked out.
Something has to be done, and I am hopeful that by, you know, you ever heard of a guy called Craig Nurse?
Yes.
Yeah, right. He didn't have MS. He had he was multiple sclerosis.
Muscular
dystrophy, right.
Yeah.
I used to do tutorials in my office at a university upstairs. And Craig had a tutorial in my office upstairs. He was the first disabled student at University of the West Indies, to the best of my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Craig couldn't come to my tutorial because he couldn't come up the steps. And there was no provision at UE for that. Craig used to come to the bottom of the steps, I'd park the wheelchair, I just sit down and wait. When the students come upstairs, everybody upstairs, and I'm like, where's Craig? Craig downstairs. And they're like, well, why isn't he coming? Because the tutorial is upstairs.
Yay.
This is the first session that we had, right? So, of course, most of the, there were quite a few guys in the class. In those days, I was stronger than I currently am. So we all went upstairs and we lifted the wheelchair. He had one of these electric wheelchairs. It was really quite heavy. So we lifted the wheelchair up the stairs, and he was able to come and attend the lecture. The point I'm making is that I found out what Craig did. Craig would go to shows, right? He used to like to go to performances at Daphne Joseph Hackett Theater. He was into plays and stuff.
Yeah.
Craig would buy a ticket and go to a show and just go at the bottom of the steps and park. And it's only a matter of time before somebody say, you want to go upstairs? And they would find a way to get him in.
Yes.
He said that he actually went 1 year to a show overseas, and because no one was taking him on, he got out of the chair and he started to crawl up the steps. And at that point in time, someone picked him up. Craig's point to me was that sometimes people with disabilities have to embarrass people into action. And what I would say to you is that if you or other persons from the MS Society want to go to a bus tour, maybe what y'all need to do is to present yourself at the destination where the bus tour is kicking off, in as large a number as you want to, and you park, and you get out of the vehicles, or you wheel yourself out of the vehicle, and you wait. Because when the organizers of that tour realized that they have made such a faux pas, that they have not provided for persons like yourself, then maybe it will make a difference. It is very, very effective, you know, when you present your disabled self in a location like that. Everybody wait, but you realize, oh shoot.
Yeah.
It is impactful. So I support you, ma'am. I think that you ought to be able to go on the bus tour. I feel that provisions ought to have been made. And I honestly think it is an oversight that provisions have not been made. So what you need to do next time is just show up, you know.
I think you have to make a little noise sometimes.
Yeah,
because otherwise,
of course.
Well, people are willing to help, but sometimes they don't think of us, which I find quite normal. But if we don't make our voices heard or our presence felt, like you said, well, nobody remembers we're there.
Yeah. No, you got to do that. You have to become the squeaky hinge. And it's only when you become the squeaky hinge that people will notice that you're there.
All right.
Some time ago, I said that I believe the disabled community needs to put government in court for discrimination. And I'm serious. I remember I said it on a program like this. Not that you all have an issue with this government or the previous government, but perhaps if you put government in court for discriminating against you on the basis of your disability as it relates to public transport, this nonsense will stop.
All right. Well,
these 34 electric vehicles that are coming, I am curious to know if any of them are disabled friendly.
Well, we're waiting to see as well what happens with the transport. And what we would like is that when the schedules are worked out for how these buses are going to work, disabled people are involved.
Of course.
Because, for example, some years ago, they went out and bought some buses.
I remember that, yeah, and it was a whole travesty.
No disabled person was in that group that went for them. And we thought, but how can the able body really judge if a bus is adequate for a disabled person or not?
Yeah. You know what? Anyway. I am always fascinated, ma'am, when I travel. And you sound like a person who has also traveled, and you've seen the facilities that are provided for disabled people all over the world. Every bus as standard has a disabled bay, which if no disabled people are on it, others can stand. When a disabled person is there, it comes into use. All of the buses are equipped with slides where, you know, you can have a ramp, the wheelchair can roll up the ramp into place, the driver stops, he assists you getting on board, you do your ticket or you don't pay, whichever, and the bus continues along. And hardly no one even notices.
Little by little, we'll get there.
We need to get to that point where every single facility, every single transport facility has the capacity to accommodate a person who is disabled. This idea that, you know, there is a special bus to cater for a disabled person, I think that is a reflective of an era that has long since passed. So,
put
government in court. I guarantee you, you can get notice, put government in court, and the next time they have one of them bus rides, you all go out there in number.
But I don't know if they had one, but I would like one, because I feel the least we could do for a regathering is see where it was. And no, as I said, no one knows St. Lucie.